Citizens around Europe are taking stock of the outcome of elections to the European Parliament. How may the results change the direction and policies of the European Union? And what do they signal about the domestic situation? I spoke about the outcome of the elections in Czechia and the EU with Deputy Director of the Prague-based Europeum Institute, Viktor Daněk.
If we start in Czech Republic, I think this was very interesting in many aspects. The success of ANO movement, who won the election, that was widely expected. On the second place, the coalition, the ruling coalition, actually, together, it's not so bad, I think, given that it's quite normal in European elections that voters tend to punish ruling parties during this election. And then we saw a very surprising result of various far-right and far-left parties. Success of Oath and Motorists movement is very interesting and very shocking, I would say, because the leader of the candidate or the leading candidate was having some issues and troubles during the campaign with his connection to far-right movement, neo-Nazi movement, actually. He was seen making Nazistic gestures and he has swastika at his home, as we saw in one of the live streams. So this is very, very troubling. I would even say that
to what do you attribute this then?
I think two things have combined together. First of all, in European elections, it is easier for new movements and quite unorthodox movements to be successful because we, especially in Czechia, there is quite low turnout. It was recordly high this year, but still, compared to other EU countries, still very low. So it is just mathematically very easier to be successful compared, for example, to national elections to the parliament. So that is one aspect. And the second one is, I think it is a wider result of very complicated Czech debate around EU membership. In the campaign, even mainstream parties portrayed, for example, Green Deal as a bad thing that needs to be fixed. So if the campaign, even with mainstream parties, is set at this tone, then some of the voters are having trouble to find someone to vote, and they are asking questions, if Green Deal actually is so bad, why should I vote for someone soft on it? Let's vote for someone that has very hard stance on it. And this was precisely the momentum, I think, for Motorists and Oath. They were very strict about it, and as we see, it was a successful tactic.
The Prime Minister said that these elections basically showed the mood of the society, and there was a lesson to be learned for the ruling coalition. What lesson do you think that is?
Well, for Together, I think that they actually aimed higher. Even some polls before elections suggested that they had chance to win the election. And this type of election is actually an election that they are supposed to win, because mainly pro-European voters come to this elections. But if we combine their result also with the mayor movements, mayors and independent and Pirates Party, then the result is actually very bad for the government. It's, as I said, it is quite normal that voters tend to punish ruling parties, but we have national elections in a year and a half, and this result is, I think, very sober awakening for the ruling parties, because it suggests that nothing good can be expected out of national elections a year and a half from now.
So what lesson was he talking about when he said that this was a lesson to be learned?
The lesson that needs to be learned, I think that ruling parties, at least some of them, are depending that most of the voters or their voters, even though they are not so happy around their policies over the last couple of months and years, they will still prefer them over ANO movement, which they see as a threat, as a clearly populistic movement, and they would vote for the ruling parties just to make sure that ANO movement is not going to be the one who is going to compose the next government. But we saw at this election that it is not so strong feeling as many members of the ruling parties hoped, I think. So the positive aspect was missing. And this is, I think, exactly the lesson that needs to be learned. Not enough results, not enough positive message. That was lacking in the campaign, I think. And it is not nearly enough just to rely on the contempt, let's say, of some voters against ANO movement.
And if we look at it on the European scale, what does the outcome of these elections mean for the direction, future direction of the European Union? What will it, how much will it change in terms of the Green Deal, the Migration Pact, and support for Ukraine?
Well, we didn't saw any revolution. It was more of an evolution, I would say. So the next parliament will be slightly more right-wing, but not so much as expected. We saw some rise of far-right parties, but definitely not as much as we expected. Of course, there were exceptions, France, for example, or Austria. But when we speak about just at the European level, I think there is still clear majority of traditional pan-European parties, socialists, the EPP, People's Party, and Renew, the Liberals, that have clear majority. So definitely no dramatic difference, I would expect, in the way European policies are going to look like in the next couple of years. When we speak about support of Ukraine, well, the parties that are supporting Ukraine has overwhelming majority, so definitely no change on this front. What is maybe more important in this aspect is are actually national elections, and European elections can show us a little bit how national elections can look like in foreseeable future, and we expect now national elections in Austria and also in France, because well, the result in France is this: Emmanuel Macron decided to have snap elections to consolidate power after his, I would even say, damaging loss of his party and surprisingly high result of the nationalistic movement of Marine Le Pen.
And is that cause for concern, as you see it, around Europe, this trend?
I would say it is. I would say it is, because if we would see more leaders like Viktor Orban around the table in European Council, then we can get into quite some trouble. For example, facing the Russian aggression, but not only. There are going to be many other challenges EU needs to solve in next 5 years. So this would be very much troubling. I see it as a trend in Germany. Germany is much more passive, I would say, than it used to be. It used to be one of the main leaders who was actually setting the tone to European integration, and that very much changed with the absence of Angela Merkel and rise of Olaf Scholz, who has very complicated situation in his coalition. And now the same or similar thing happened in France when Emmanuel Macron is now trying to consolidate power after this loss. Because he is now in his second term, and there was already risk that as a lame duck president, he would be a little bit weakened, and with this loss, he would be weakened even more. So I think it is a risky tactic, calling snap elections at this time, but I think it is the only possible tactic how to actually consolidate power and emerge from this political crisis as a victor and stay strong in European debate.
Right, Viktor Daněk, thank you very much for your time.